Parkland, 92.3 FM, Calabar.
Access to health care is guaranteed under Chapter 2 of the Constitution of the Federal Republic of Nigeria, 1999, as amended. The National Health Insurance Authority Act 2021, NHIA. The Act repealed the National Health Insurance Scheme Act, CAP No. 42 of 2004, which was enacted in 1999. The NHIA seeks to promote, regulate and integrate health insurance schemes. It aims to secure mandatory health insurance for every Nigerian and legal resident and establishes a fund for the vulnerable groups, which will provide subsidy for health insurance coverage for vulnerable persons and payment of health insurance premiums for indigents. Despite the provision, lack of access to quality healthcare services is a major challenge for citizens and even more for persons living with disabilities, with many encountering barriers including communication, physical and financial barriers, while also facing ill treatment, neglect, stigma and discrimination when they go to healthcare facilities to access care. Article 25 of the United Nations Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities guarantees the right of persons with disabilities to attain the highest standard of health without discrimination. In Nigeria, on January 23, 2019, the Discrimination Against Persons with Disabilities Prohibition Act 2018 was signed into law following 9 years of relentless advocacy by disability rights groups and activists. The law prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability and imposes sanctions, including fines and prison sentences, on those who contravene it. It, amongst other provisions, stipulates that the government shall guarantee that persons with disabilities have unfettered access to health care without discrimination on the basis of disability. Also, a public hospital where a person with communication disability is medically attended to shall make provision for special communication. It also stipulates that in queues, persons with disabilities shall be given the first consideration and as much as possible be attended to outside the queue. In Cross River State, after a hard-fought battle, the Disability Rights Act was signed into law in 2021. The law provides for the full integration of persons with disabilities into the society, the establishment of a commission for people with disabilities, and vesting the commission with the responsibilities for their education, healthcare, social, economic, and civil rights, and all the related matters. Since the passage of the law, people with disabilities in the state still grapple with the challenge of access to healthcare in government-owned facilities. In 2023, during the commemoration of International Day of Persons with Disabilities, the state governor, Senator Basil Tu, promised to create a disability commission as stipulated by the act and appoint a special advisor from amongst people living with disabilities. However, this promise is still much awaited. While the delay persists, there is no data on the number of persons with disabilities in the state due to lack of any survey as they continue to face unending challenges. Ukamaka Richard Bassey, in this report, investigated the challenges faced by persons with disabilities in Cross River State and spoke with affected persons on the range of barriers when accessing healthcare services, particularly in government hospitals.
Wenkebe Odin, a speech and hearing impaired teacher in her 30s, was pregnant. Her experience at the hospital during her antenatal sessions and delivery is a memory she does not want to remember. She recounts her experiences with the help of an interpreter. This is her story.
My experience when I was pregnant, I came for checkup in the hospital. Many people were there, especially the hearing persons. When we went to the place to receive treatment and they thought I am hearing, they asked me, they were just talking to me, and I told them I can't hear. They were busy talking to me. I was still signaling them that I can't hear. I told them my ears are blocked. They said, can't you hear us? I said, yes, I can't. But it was difficult for them to believe her. They say, see, you fine girl, you are lying to us that you can't hear. They say, yes, I'm beautiful. Does it mean a beautiful person can't be deaf? And I asked her to write. They started communicating through writing. And she explained to them that she came for checkup. They say, ah, you are pregnant and you are deaf. Say, yes, I'm 5 months pregnant. Then I led her to a doctor. They were just talking and talking without an interpreter to assist me. And me, I was just there thinking my life. They will abuse me. Okay, they were teaching on how to take care of yourself as a pregnant woman. They talked until they finished. I couldn't hear anything. They started calling them Kebe, Kebe, Kebe. I couldn't hear them. And people were entering to see doctors. I stayed there until I was the last person. And I asked the doctor, what happened? He said, sorry, we have been calling you, but you didn't hear your name. The doctor now tested her and wrote, prescribed some medications for her. Then I told her, next time, come with somebody. From there, she took her drugs and went home. She explained to the parents the difficulty she experienced that day. My twin sister can sign, but she was busy that day. She went to school. My father was also busy. I have to beg my twin to follow me to the next date of appointment. So on the next appointment, the next month, my twins accompanied me to the hospital. She was not the one that explained to the doctor. I was just there signing to her, and she was the one explaining. When it was 9 months, it was not easy. I didn't know anything. The water broke. I didn't know what was happening on me. Since I can't understand so many things the doctors were teaching us, I was just there until my twin said, something is coming out of you. I said, I don't know. I can't understand what is happening to me. My twin sister have to call my mom to explain. They asked me to rush to the hospital, but I need to wait for my twin sister to assist me. And I could not walk at that point. The water was still coming out. I called my other sister, who have experienced pregnancy. Say, Kebe, there is much water coming out of Kebe's body. The water is just uncontrollable. They asked me to wait so that, they say, wait until you see blood. You cannot go to hospital. But at that point, I was not comfortable again. I was waiting till midnight. I was just crying. They will call, have you seen blood? My twin sister will say, no, it's just the water. They say, rush to the hospital. By 2 a.m. I have to run down to the hospital. They were now saying, what happened? That since yesterday, you didn't come to hospital. We were just going up and down. When they write, I will tell them I'm a deaf. I can't understand anything. It's just my twin sister that came to my rescue and was writing, interpreting for me. They say, how did you become deaf? I have to explain that I was hearing before, but because of drugs, I became deaf. They say, and you were pregnant. Hey, yeah, what will we do? Say, I'm happy that I came with my interpreter to interpret for me. That the blood have not come out since yesterday. They were just moving up and down. They asked her to do exercise. She suffered much, yet blood did not come out. They forced it, gave me injection till I was weak as if I would die. They keep on forcing it. They told me if I sleep, the baby will not be active. Lastly, the DCS, I'm grateful that the baby came out and now the baby is a grown-up child. Next time I went to hospital, they were just abusing me. I was in a line also trying to breastfeed the baby. They would ask me, who are you? They asked me to leave the line until she was angry and she left the hospital to her home. It's until the twin sister assists her to hospital that she will be fine to go there because of the much abuse they used to give to her. She now told the mother that I will not go to hospital again because they always abuse me. My mother have to go to the hospital and really complain. They apologize. The doctor says, sorry, it will not happen again. The doctor was just apologizing to me that it will not happen the next time. We, the deaf persons, have a lot of challenges, of which interpreters should be found at every post in the hospitals, in schools, in different places.
For Dr. Harry Pius, who is an albino, his experience accessing healthcare alongside the discrimination he has had to face because of his skin condition hasn't been palatable. He believes the establishment of the Disability Commission will address challenges faced by his kind.
First of all, I want to appreciate the government for giving us the pillar to lean on. And what I call the pillar is about the law. But one thing is that law is good, of course, but the law becomes better when it goes through the eye of implementation. Now, given the issue of healthcare in Mekwara and in Calabar here so far, I can't say I will pass a vote of confidence in the government in the area of healthcare, because persons living with disability of my nature, a person with albinism, we are special species, if I may call. We are special people. And if you go to the hospital, not every doctor can treat persons living with diabetes.
Yes.
The reason is that our cases are very peculiar. For example, when you talk about albinism, you're talking about the absence of melanin. And of course, if you look at me through the camera, you could see that you will perceive two colors. One seemingly looking black and then my real color. This is a result of the heat of the sun. So when it becomes hot, it hurts the skin. And we need a specially trained dermatologist in all hair facilities, including that of the rural areas, to be able to take care of our skin issue. And then when you talk about the eyes, of course, albinism also affects the hair. You can see my hair color. You can see my eyes. Yes, the eyes are open, but they don't project as far as those who have the melanin project. And so in the hospital, we also need a specially trained doctor. Not all eye doctors can treat us. Not all eye doctors. So over the years, as a person, I have suffered it. It will interest to know that even from my primary school, secondary school, university, first degree, second degree, or to the level that now I'm a PhD holder, I've never used lenses. Number one reason is that we don't have specialists who had ever attended to me as a person. Not even talk of some of our members who are out there helplessly walking about. And two, you talk about the cost of these lenses. That lens is not the normal lenses you go to the hospital and they cut for you. Ours is called octave or concave, specially made. And the cost is not what an individual like me can, you know, sponsor. You can't sponsor it. You will hear that one concave goes for 500,000. Where would a person like me who is not working bring 500,000 naira from? So if the government, in their magnanimity, in their orientation and passion and empathy, had established a law, in my hand you have the act that was enacted in 2018, and this is what was domesticated in Cross River State in 2021. And if this law must come to fruition, then we should have special healthcare facilities, we should have special doctors, special people take care of the eyes, the skin, and the head. Now, if you go to the teaching hospital, you see example of what I'm saying. So many of our members have suffered skin cancer. So many have died. In short, last 3 months, they sent me a picture of one who is still in the general teaching hospital now, helplessly looking for how to survive. And then when you talk about the skin, as at 2020, we were left at the mercy of donors. They gave us one they call a cream, sunscreen. And that sunscreen was not properly made. It's the one that when you rub it, one sweat comes out of your eye, you will regret why you rub the cream. In short, it hurts more than what the police use to call tear gas. And so at a point, we stop using it. And then if you don't even have money to buy more clothes, once you wear the cream, it stains all your clothes and the stains are irremovable. You can't remove them, no matter the detergent you use. And so persons living with albinism across the state, has suffered so much. And then, one of the approaches we have received in the hospital that we don't even like is a name like Calabar here. When they see you approaching the healthcare, a trained doctor or nurses will look at you with a disdain eyes. Some of them derogatorily approach you and call you Mbakara Boroko. That is a white goat that lives in a forest. Some even tell you, unfortunate Igbo. And I tell you, how unfortunate am I? Is it because of the skin color? Fantastic. If you go through that law, you will see so many fine policies being enacted. The act empowered the commission to do basic things, which include to protect, to promote, and to prioritize the right of persons living with disability and further enhance their productivity through education, through health, through advocacy, through mainstreaming, through sensitization of the public. And so that law was made to make persons living with disability, whether in Cross River State or other states, to have a comfortable life. And when this commission is established, it will go a long way to remove discrimination. And when you talk about discrimination, when discrimination is removed, it will enthrone equity, it will enthrone inclusivity, it will enthrone diversity.
I remember my husband almost to die because of discrimination and negligence from the health workers. These were the words of Mrs. Faith Ode, who has a physical disability, as she narrates her ordeal receiving healthcare.
It has been challenging anyway. Like me, personally, I have accessed government hospital in different occasions. and I've not gotten any positive, you know, answers. You understand? It came a time that there was a time I was having a health challenge, serious health challenge, and I went to the hospital. And the way they treated me wasn't palatable at all. It wasn't okay. And I even wept. I remember I've wept several in the hospital. And sometimes I cried and go to some people, I think some of the health personnel that I know that they can assist. I'll talk to them so that they will attend to me, that as a challenged person, I am not supposed to be killed. You understand? I'm not supposed to be killed. I'm supposed to be attended to. Or possibly sometimes they will just attend to me by giving me a chair to sit down. I will sit down there for a number of hours. Then the people that will come and meet me will be attended to. Is it because I'm challenged or something? So sometimes I will just be asking them, why would they keep me waiting when I've come and I'm seeing people who come and meet me? You understand? They will attend to them. And sometimes by the way of agitating, talking like that, they will now, okay. They will do as if they are forgotten about me. Come. And there was a time that my husband was critically sick, went to the hospital. Name we help, one of these government hospitals. I remember my husband almost died because of, let me say, nonchalant attitude. I don't know if I can use the word. The way they like silence us, and the way they, I don't know if the way they saw me is the one that make them to behave the way they behave, you understand? So to a point that I started like trying to beg them to attend to. And if not for the fact that somebody from the church we worship was working in that hospital, that now came up to help us out. And went and talked to one of the doctors. And that was how we attended to. And because he was suffering from ulcer, you understand? At that time, he was so severe that he cannot even take care of himself. That time he was vomiting at the same time stooling. So it was that serious. So thank God for the fact that I knew somebody that works there. The person now came up to intervene. I don't know if I would have lost my husband that time. And that was how we were taken to emergency. After much delay. That notwithstanding, another time again, I have different experiences with health. Another time again, I went with my mother. My mother was just somehow weak. And when we went there, to a point that after much delay, my mother was now carried from wheelchair to go to emergency. They were like, because of the delay. So there, to a point that one day, when we went to the hospital to assess the facility, my husband even wept and said he would never go to the hospital again. Until today, my husband never go to the hospital. Me, the challenge, one of the challenges I had that I would have been operated upon some time ago, last 2022. Because of that negligence, they didn't attend to me because there was no money and all of that. So I have to wait. The problem that wouldn't have lingered till this very year that we are, that I have to wait till the people from abroad that came for medical so for the surgery they did sometime early this year. And that was how God helped me. I was operated upon. So I have different challenges. And one of it is that sometimes the places we are supposed to assess, they are upstairs. You will try before you get there. Some of our women, when they are treating them in the hospital, they think that they are not supposed to be maybe married or supposed to be pregnant. They don't have the right to be pregnant because there are all trances that come out from the nurses, from the health workers. You will be marveled. I see it very well that if this commission is established, at least it will make the disability community to really know and to know how to take care of their persons. You understand? And also another thing they need to also do in health facility is to make sure that they are disability desk officers in every of these health facilities. If this my brother now or this my sister go to the health facilities now, would the nurses understand them? They will not, except there is sign language interpreter. Likewise, to every other challenge person, if disability desk officer is being placed in every health facility, they will speak as it pinches them. So that is why if our commission is established, I think we will be very, very happy. It's one of the gifts we want government, we wish that government should give us.
Willie Martins Sunday is a recent graduate from the University of Calabar with a hearing impairment. He says he barely can afford his hospital bills because of his inability to secure a job due to his disability.
First of all, I want to thank you for coming here. It gives us a voice, because deaf people,
we have silence.
We have been silent. It is difficult for hearing people to understand us, because when we are in hospital, many people see us as hearing people, so it's very difficult to understand us. I remember many deaf persons I used to assist to go to hospital. It's difficult for doctors to attend to them. When it comes to collecting payment, you have to stand on a queue. Also, at the end of this, doctor will ask us to sit. Many times we will sit and they will be calling names to go and meet doctor. When they call a deaf person, the deaf person will not hear his name. It will be difficult for the deaf people to be able to meet doctor. They will wait until they will go home. The deaf person will sit till evening. Sometimes they will be angry and leave to their houses. So it's difficult without an interpreter being there in the hospital. Sometimes they will, somebody have to come and write something that is this your name to show the person, so before you can meet a doctor to find out concerning the health. Again, when you enter to meet the doctor, time for treatment or drugs, the doctor will ask you questions you will not understand. It will be difficult to understand or to give details of how you are feeling. You need an interpreter to assist. Very importantly, in the hospital, we have concerns for persons with disability, which involve an interpreter working to assist persons with hearing impairment. Thank you.
Wow.
I feel it's a punishment to us, because without help, without the government coming to help us or giving us a free medical care, is always difficult. So they should give us a commission. They should establish a commission that will cater our welfare.
Accessing healthcare is a very serious challenge. Sometimes early this year, I went to the hospital and what I saw was horrible, laments Etong Efiong, a visually impaired and the sounding coordinator, Joint National Association of Persons with Disabilities in Cross River State.
Accessing healthcare is a very serious challenge. Sometime early this year, I went to the hospital, and what I saw there somehow was horrible. The first challenge I got was that I was asked, as a visually impaired person, we need a guide. The question they asked me was, why didn't you come with a guide? I told them, what if you don't have one? Maybe your siblings have what they are doing. Does it mean that they have to leave what they are doing to bring me to the hospital? And if I don't have somebody, so does it mean that I should be in my house and die if I don't come here and have healthcare? Now, again, you have to queue alongside others.
The World Report on Disability, published in 2011, stated that about 25 million Nigerians had at least one disability, while 3.6 million of these had very significant difficulties in functioning. The 2006 Nigerian Census reported 3,253,169 persons with disabilities, or 2.32% of the total population of 140,431,790 in that year. In the absence of data from the National Bureau of Statistics, the national president of a non-governmental and non-political organization in Nigeria with disabilities, Mrs. Ekaite Judith Omor, revealed that about 585,307 citizens in neighboring Akwa Ibom State are living with one form of disability or the other. However, in Cross River State, the population of persons with disabilities remains unknown due to lack of survey. The state chairman of Joint National Association of Persons with Disabilities, Prince Ekpenyong Essien, however, states that while they can't ascertain the entire population of persons with disabilities in Cross River State, the association has a registered population strength of about 15,000 people across the 18 local government areas of the state. According to the state chairman, there is need for funding by the state government to conduct a census to ascertain the general population of persons with disabilities across the 18 local government areas of Cross River State. We need funding. It is not easy.
We captured it in that paper, handed over to the Commissioner for Social Welfare, Disability Head Count and Database. It has been our cry, even within ourselves, the state ESCO, so that at a glance, we can look at the database and say, this is the population of persons with disability in Cross River State. So we put it as one of our requests, that through the Office of the Social Welfare, the governor can, if they will not hand it over to the state, form a committee, empower the committee, let the committee go to the rural local governments and communities and check house by house how many persons with disability are there, what is their age range, what is their occupation, what is their academic level, so that tomorrow, even job creation, if job is coming, we can easily look at our database. Okay, we have 2,000 persons with disability who are first degree holder. They don't have a job. 20 with NCE, no job. Okay, what do we do? 5%. How many persons are captured in the 5%? We sample and say, okay, government, these are the people here on queue. Capture them, engage them. Subsequent opportunities, we can also look at the database. While from time to time, we keep updating the database, because disability is not where we say it ends tomorrow. So,
during a visit to the State Ministry of Social Welfare and Community Development, we spoke with Evangelist Stephen Okimba, Director, Rehabilitation in the Ministry, whose office is responsible for the needs of persons with disabilities in Cross River State. When asked about the delay in creating a disability commission after 3 years of having a Disability Rights Act in the state, alongside other pertinent questions, these were his responses.
The reason why the Disability Rights Commission is delayed is partly because of administrative procedure.
What sort of administrative procedure?
Yes, they have to put all the necessary things in place to create it. So, going straight to it, on the 3rd of December 2023, during the International Day of Persons with Disability, that had the presence of His Excellency, Senator Prince Baselerutu, and Her Excellency, Reverend Princess Eyowan Baselerutu, in attendance. His Excellency made a pronouncement to persons with disability that a disability commission was going to be created, that he was going to create it. And he said that on the 3rd of December last year. And he equally said he was going to give some appointments to them. And so, since then, we've been waiting for directives on what is to be done in respect of creating that commission. Because it is the prerogative of the governor to create it. Mm. And he made that pronouncement. And so that is what we are waiting for. But directives must come from there to us.
So what effort has the ministry put in place to ensure that the governor is reminded? Because this is what the law provides. This is not an act of charity. This is what the law provides. What effort have you made? It's almost getting to a year now.
Yes. Actually, there's a memo that I'm preparing already to His Excellency. Of course, it is in respect of database that you mentioned as one of the issues to be addressed. In order that funds be released for a statewide survey to be carried out, people with disability in Cross River State. And of course, as part of that memo, there's going to be a note there reminding His Excellency, because the database is to enable the governor to know actually the number of persons with disabilities in Cross River State, and then remind him of the need to create that disability commission that he mentioned.
You said you're writing the memo.
Yes, already.
Is this the first time the office is writing a memo since that 2020?
On the data.
Survey,
yes.
The headcount and data.
Yes.
Okay, particularly for the Disability Rights Commission, have there been memos sent out to the governor?
No, to be very candid, no memo have been sent.
So why?
That's what I'm saying. That I think we are going to work on that. We'll work on that definitely.
Is there a timeline for that? Because if your office is responsible for sending a memo out to the executive to remind that you're not doing it.
No.
That means you're also suffering people living with disability.
No, I'm not quite suffering them. Because it's not our place to create. Our place is to remind. And I will have a commission. And of course, like I said, there are so many things. There are other things affecting persons with disability that we're taking charge of. For example, there are situations that they have meetings to attend at Abuja and all that. This office has been writing memos to His Excellency and has been releasing funds for them. And that's what I've said. In terms of respect of the Disability Commission, the memo that is coming out now is going to convey that to His Excellency.
The Disability Commission was meant to cater for all of their needs, right?
Exactly.
Throw more light on the headcount and the database, because like I mentioned to you earlier, that a paper has been written by this association to the commission.
The light about database is giving the administrative procedure database that is going to be generated concerning persons with disability is going to come from this office, and that they have written as Joint National Association of Persons with Disability. This office will now do a memo based on that and attach it and send it to His Excellency based on the budgetary provision for that activity. And then as the moment the governor approves, then the office will work out the modality carrying out that survey.
I'd like to ask this question for clarity's sake. The Disability Commission and this headcount, is it under your purview to create a budgetary allocation for it while preparing the budget?
Disability Commission, by the time it is created, it will have its budgetary provision. For now, anything about persons with disabilities catered for by this office. And so in the budget, there is budgetary provision for persons with disability already.
Okay.
That is what I want you to understand. And it captures this aspect of database.
Is there a timeline for this to be done? A timeline for the memo to be sent to the governor?
For now, the memos are sent, are generated and sent to governor when the need arises. So in terms of a timeline or whatever, it's not there, it doesn't apply. That's why I said for now, there's a memo on that already that we are going to send to His Excellency, and it will serve as a reminder to him on that pronouncement made in the
court. Are we going to see this memo linger to December before we send it?
I don't think so. I want to say that given the disposition of our commission, she does not leave any stone unturned if it has to do with submitting memos to His Excellency. Because he knows the importance of such memo being approved. And so the moment the memo is ready, I assure you, a commissioner who is in her proactive state will make sure it is approved. And this statewide survey will be carried out without delay.
Amongst the complaints by persons with disabilities were the obvious lack of communication tools, sign language interpreters, guides, and discrimination at government-owned hospitals they visited. Meanwhile, during a visit to the General Hospital Calabar to confirm the complaints laid by persons with disabilities, we spoke with Nurse Atim Igbo, the Deputy Head of Nursing Services, General Hospital Calabar, and here's what she said about the concerns raised by persons with disabilities.
When we talk about people living with disability, we know that we have a lot of them in the society, and most times they get sick and they come to the hospital. Before this time, when the knowledge was not there, training were not there, they find it difficult. They themselves were having a kind of stigmatization and they were not feeling very fine. But here in General Hospital, we have a lot of doctors that have been able to attend to them. We even have RAM, as you can see, you can look around. Those on wheelchair can be wheeled into the outpatient department. And sometimes those that have issues of sign language, GPI had a training on sign language recently, and they have been attending to them. Now, It is not like what people used to see. The actual fact is that they come to the hospital, most times they come with interpreters, or most times they just walk in on their own bed. Now they have been attended to without any form of discrimination. There are people that don't come with interpreters. We have nurses here that have been able to do a little bit of interpreting for them. Whether they come with interpreters, at least they have been able to use their sign. And like when they want to talk about their abdomen, you can see the joint pains, they know that kind of a thing. I think a lot of people have been, they have this basic idea how to treat these people living with disability. Yes, there's something we call triaging. Triage is that you pick those ones that are vulnerable. Now we have this knowledge. Now we have this idea. Whenever they come to the hospital, I think these are the first people we will pick, and the doctors will have to see them because they may not have the energy to stay for a very long time. I can give that to General Hospital Calabar. Whenever they come and they have these issues, you see nurses walking around to pick them, and they are being treated. It's just that old mentality that they are living with disability. Nobody's attending to them. They are putting them at the background. But for now, I think a lot of changes have taken place.
Responding to claims of wrong choice of words used on persons with disabilities, particularly pregnant women and those with albinism, here's what she said.
Well, this is General Hospital Calabar, mega hospital in the heart of Cross River State. As far as I know, the nurses are well trained, they have manners. It can't happen here. Because whether you are deaf or whether we are dumb, whether you are living with disability, you know sexual and reproductive health rights, everybody has. And all the people working in the hospital, they know what is sexual and reproductive health rights. There is nothing like you are deaf and you're pregnant. That can only happen in interior villages, not in a hospital like this. I think they have been given equal rights. You know, we have myths and misconceptions. A lot of people say so many things about it, but here, we don't have those issues. Whether they are deaf, most of them are even living with disability, they are married. I think they are being accorded. We used to have plenty of them here in the hospital. I think that one is just not the truth in this hospital. GPI, that is what I'm doing. The relief project have built capacity of a lot of people in the Cross River State as far as people living with disability are concerned. So the idea of she's living with disability and she's getting pregnant, that mentality, it is a long time, but not these days again. I think we have been giving them fair treatment and all those things.
According to her, while the Cross River State Government is working assiduously to make healthcare free for the indigent among persons with disabilities in the state, private organizations can step in to support the effort put in place by the government.
Okay, the Cross River State have the National Health Insurance Scheme of the Cross River State. I think the organizations, you know, we have organizations of people living with disability. So the organizations, they can have free health care. This is government facility. We are not like coming to say, okay, let everything be free. To the government, the MOUs are signed, a lot of things are put in place. We still need partners, we need organizations to fund these things. If there's an organization, okay, that is working on people living with disability, that's able to support, they will just walk into the hospital, have their care, and they move back. No issue with that. But for now, I'm not really sure, but the present government have made it that the people living with disability and other group of people can have free health care. So we are still waiting for the National Health, they should enroll in the National Health Insurance in Cross River State. I think they will have free health care. It is implemented, you just get them registered and they will have their cards bring to the hospital, just like the NHIS, that the patient walks in, you know, she has her treatment and every other thing free. I think maybe the organizations is not aware, but if the chairperson of the people living with disability is aware, they will now get them to be registered. I think that one will be covered.
We also spoke with Mr. Etin Ndem, the admin officer at General Hospital Calabar, who affirmed that the hospital greatly prioritizes the health of persons with disabilities.
As a hospital, we give priorities to people in a challenge. For instance, I have told you, if you walk into the casualty, the provision for someone on wheelchair to be easily rolled in. Then during our health talk in the morning, we identify people that are challenged and then they are attended to before other patients are fully suit. And so that is provision. The provision, we give them that priority. And then for them that we can identify, if someone calls our attention to one of them, of course, we intervene.
According to Mr. Etten, the hospital management hasn't recorded any complaints of neglect against persons with disabilities, and if there are any.
But the general hospital community is a very organized community. I don't think any of our nurses will look at someone and say, you're disabled and all that, make those remarks. I'm sure exactly not yet. But if those kind of things happen, I mean, the attention of the management should be drawn to it and they won't handle it. We've not recorded any of just remarks. Okay. We haven't gotten any complaint. If it comes out of management, I can assure you we work on it. That's what I'm saying. We are always here to serve. If there is one, our attention will be drawn to it, and then we'll deal with it. And we've not had any reports or complaints from. We have complaint boxes. We have solution boxes. If they come, my numbers are displayed under by the hospital. If anybody has an issue, you just dial the number. And then any challenge that is identified at that point of care, at that point of receiving care, if it is brought up to my unit, we address it. And that's why we are here. We are here to serve the public and give the best that we can give. So once it's identified and it's brought up, we handle it.
On the issue of free health care for the indigent amongst persons with disabilities, Mr. Etim stated that the hospital has an internal arrangement for such persons.
The hospital has an internal arrangement for workers. If you identify that in a class of people that can't pay bill, we internally get those bills started up. So their medical screening does a lot of waivers for people that have been identified to say these ones can't pay bill. There are waivers. To what extent can you pay? I've seen cases where he waives it. Mm-hmm. So there's actually a welfare package within the hospital where those things can be handled, but you need to draw the attention to the medical superintendent to identify that these ones can't just be there. At that point, of course, we won't throw our patients away. Probably relative to the patient that can pay bill, or even our staff can identify that you can pay bill. There's an effort that can be done by management to see how those bills are something up.
All effort at various times to speak with the Commissioner for Health, Dr. Ebe Ayuk, to inquire about what his ministry had done to prevent the challenges faced by persons with disabilities failed. On three occasions, he picked his call, saying he was very busy, hence he couldn't attend our request for an interview with him, and asked that we call him back. When we called back twice, he didn't pick his call. On the last attempt to call him, his number was switched off. Healthcare is an essential component of human life. So whether you have a disability or not, it is very important. This report was facilitated by the African Center for Development Journalism as part of its 2024 Inequalities Reporting Fellowship, supported by the MacArthur Foundation through the Wolesho Inca Center for Investigative Journalism. Ukamaka Richard Bassi is my name.
The radio station everybody listens to.
Sparkling 92.3 FM. Radio, your sign.